जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन बल्लभ कृपाल धारे, गोपी जन बल्लभ कृपाल धारे, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वन चारे, यमुना तीरा वन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, गोपी जन बल्लभ कृपाल धारे, गोपी जन बल्लभ कृपाल धारे, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा वन चारे, यमुना तीरा वन चारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय कृष्ण बलराम, जय कृष्ण बलराम, कृष्ण बलराम, जय कृष्ण बलराम, जय Jai Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Shyam Sundar Radha. Jai Gaura Nitai Jai Gaura Nitai Jai Gaura Nitai Jai Gaura Nitai. Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada 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 Prabhupada. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Svandracharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki, Sri Sri Radhisham Sundar Ki, Shishi Gonitai Ki, Sankirtan Yajna Ki, Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Just once again, if you don't understand what I'm saying now, if you're Russian speakers, ladies sit in the corner there, men in the corner there, если вы не понимаете, что я говорю прямо сейчас, Матаджи, вы можете сесть вон там, с Матаджи Ямуна, и мужчины там, с Махапрабху Крипа Прабху. Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая. Ом намо Бхагавате Васудевая. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So, devotees, this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, and we are reading verses 7, 8, and 9. 7 and 8 I'll read just myself, and verse 9 we will do responsively. Okay, so here we go. Verse 7. Aham chairavatam nagam Aruyanu vraje vrajam Marudganayar Mahavegayar Nandagoshta Jighamsaya. Translation. Well, this is the clouds, this is the Samvartika clouds and their friends, all the very, very heavy, aggressive. Clouds of distraction usually only appearing at the time of cosmic annihilation. So this is those clouds speaking. This is Lord Indra speaking to them. Yeah, so this is Lord Indra speaking. I will follow you to Vraja, riding on my elephant, Airavata, and taking with me the swift and powerful wind gods to decimate the cowherd village of Nanda Maharaj. And just very short purport by Srila Prabhupada. These Samvartika clouds were frightened by Indra's powerful mood and thus carried out his order as described in the following verse. So, verse 8. Sri Shuka Uvacha Itam Magavata Gyapta Meka Nirmukta Bandhana Nanda Gokulam Asarai Pidayam Asur Ojasa. Translation. Shukadev Goswami said, on Indra's order, the clouds of universal destruction released untimely from their bonds, went to the cowherd pastures of Nanda Maharaj. There they began to torment the inhabitants by powerfully pouring down torrents of rain upon them. And again, very short purport. The Samvartika clouds could cover the entire earth with a single vast ocean. With great strength, these clouds began flooding the simple land of Vraja. Okay, and verse 9 we will do responsively. Vidyotamana Vidyudbe Stananta Stanaitnubi Tivrayar Marud Ganayar Nuna Vavrishur Jala Sharkara Vidyotamana Vidyudbi Stananta Stanayitnubi Tivraya Marud Ganar Nuna Vavrishur Jala Shakara Vidyotamana Vidyubi Stananta Stanayitnubi Tivraya Marud Ganar Nuna Vavrishur Jala Shakara Vidyotamana Vidyudbi Stananta Stanayitnubi Tivraya Marud Ganar Nuna Vavrishur Jala Sharkara
Vavrishur Jala Sharkara. Vijotamana Vidyubi.
Vijotamana Vidyubi.
Stanata Stanati Tupi. Dear fair Babu Kane Luna. Chala Sarkaraha.
Vidyut Mana Vidyut
Bhimi.
Tanantaha Stanait Bhimi.
Tanantaha Stanait Bhimi.
Ivrad Marut Kane Luna.
Marut Kane Luna.
Abrisho Jala Sarkaraha.
Matajes. Vidyotamana, being illuminated, vidyudbi, by bolts of lightning, stananta, roaring, stanayitnubi, with thunder, tivrai, fearsome, Marutganai, by the wind gods, Nunna, propelled, Vavrishu, they poured down, Jalasharkara, hailstones. Translation. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. And purport by Srila Prabhupada, just very short purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that the word Marudganai indicates the seven great winds, such as Avaha, who presides over the region of Bhuvarloka, and Pravaha, who holds the planets in their places. Let me just read the verse again. Vidyotamana vidyudbi stananta stanayitnubi tivramarudganar nunna vavrishur jalasharkara. Propelled by the fearsome wind gods, the clouds blazed with lightning bolts and roared with thunder as they hurled down hailstones. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Bhastyachadish Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar Jivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripasindubhyaevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Devotees, I'm very happy to be here. I'm very humbled to be here in front of you all at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And we have this wonderful opportunity to discuss the Govardhan Leela right at this time. It's really just completely auspicious. Just a couple of, well, one technical little point of language. Yeah, in the first verse, in the translation of the first verse, the word, the Sanskrit term, jighamsaya, is used. And it refers, it's translated here as with the intent of destroying. Oh, incidentally, I think I said purport by Srila Prabhupada is actually, anyway, you all know, by Prabhupada's disciples. But it's all coming ultimately from Srila Prabhupada. So the word jighamsaya is translated as with the intention of destroying. And in the actual translation itself, the term that's used for that is to decimate is, there are different degrees of destroying. I mean, you can sort of just knock someone over, knock them unconscious, you can kill them, you can sort of blow them to pieces. These are all different degrees. But to decimate is very extreme degree of destruction. It's not just, you could say, ordinary destruction, if there is such a thing. It's like total obliteration, or what's the word? You know, sort of to pulverize, or yeah. Like Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says in chapter 4, verse 8, Paritranaya Saudanam Vinashaya Chaduskritam. He comes to protect and encourage and give shelter like that to his devotees, to the sadhus, but ultimately the sadhus, that's the devotees. And then for the duskritanas, the nonsense, the demons, then he vinash, he destroys them. So the thing is, you know, in a little technical sense, nash means to destroy, right? Nash, destroy. Vinash, you know, as in Sanskrit, V is a prefix of emphasis, like very. So Vinash means to very destroy, like to decimate, obliterate, that sort of thing. Just wipe out of existence, with almost no trace of the previous existence. Yeah. So it's a fact that Indra felt so strongly that he his desire for revenge, actually it was revenge, because everything that was taken for his usual annual Indra Puja was taken away. A big part of the Indra Puja was the food offering. But all the food offerings, all the bhoga was taken and was then offered to Govardhan Hill and ultimately to Krishna. And Lord Indra, unfortunately, got in, by the Lord's arrangement, these things usually happen with these big, big people. He got into illusion, thinking he's a big man, not just a big man, but super big, super duper man sort of thing. Really just, you can barely, if at all, get any higher. That sort of position. He was assuming that he had, and it was like his right. And now his right was usurped by these village people because of this Vachalam, this talkative little boy, and these uneducated village people, they're listening to this talkative little boy. Oh, what is this? So it was extreme. His mood was very, very extreme. And he thought the right thing to do was to kill them, but not just to kill them, but to decimate them. Absolutely, totally obliterate them and wipe them out of existence. That was the idea. Not just to kill them like bang bang you're dead sort of thing, but like, well, it's really like dropping a nuclear weapon on them. That sort of distraction. You come along later and there's nothing there. It's just gone. That's the idea. That's what he wanted to do. That's how strongly he felt. And unfortunately, he overlooked the fact, or he became blind to the fact, that this is actually Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all these, the greatest devotees, Srimati Radharani, the gopis, Mother Yashoda Nanda Maharaj, all the family devotees in Vatsalya Rasa, all the cowherd boys, and the servants and the cows and everything. He was hoping. In fact, you know, of course the story goes on. I don't really want to get ahead of things. Let other devotees take it forward. But at the end he came back and expecting and hoping, really wanting to see just devastation. Because as was mentioned here, these clouds, Samvartika and his associates, they are powerful enough to inundate the entire planet. That's what was stated. Literally, flood the entire planet and not just this little area of Rajmandala. Relatively, in material terms, it's just a tiny fraction of the Earth planet. Yeah, that's what he wanted to see. He wanted to see total devastation. Yes. So, yeah, but that was his mistake. And later, of course, and you'll hear about it as the days go on, later he does get the realization, he understands that, whoops, I made a mistake. We've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes, plenty. And I don't doubt that even big important devotees here have also made mistakes, but not like that mistake. You know, I don't know if anyone here, and this is actually, you know, you don't have to put your hand up and respond, but has anyone here ever tried to kill someone? Well, I knew you'd laugh, but some people try to kill other people, and some people do kill other people. But you know, who? No, I'm sure nobody here has come anywhere near killing someone. But Indra tried to kill Krishna and Radharani. Can you imagine? And all the cows, and just all the bridge buses. What a mistake to realize that you have made. Then, you know, can you imagine if you ever did somehow, you tried to kill someone, but you found out, wrong person. What do you do afterwards? Do you go and say, sorry, mistake. Don't take it personally, or something like that. But the situation for Indra was just, when he understood the reality, it was so bizarre for him to come to grips with, you know, coming to grips with, if not if, but when, you make a mistake, like a real mistake, which causes problems. And then now you've got to come to grips with it and deal with it and apologize. It can be very difficult. But something like this, anyway, therefore, you know, it may not be noted later on, Indra, when he did realize, he immediately, he took his dual-handled dagger and he was just going to drive it into his heart and just take his life. He could not see any other sort of possible response he could make, just kill himself. And he was just about to do that when Brihaspati told him, walked up and said, what do you think you're doing? He's like his guru or priest, chief priest. What do you think you're doing? You're trying to kill yourself. You're already worse than dead, so don't waste your time. Anyway, it goes on. But here, he's just getting into it. He's just got into it. And instructing the Samvartaka clouds and the various other clouds of universal destruction. You know, he's got so many clouds under his control because he's the Lord of the Rains. So all the rain clouds, they're all under Indra. You know, he didn't need to destroy a little area like Vraja. He didn't need those clouds. He could have just got some other, you know, heavy storm clouds. There's plenty of them under his control. But he just went so far overboard that he called for the Samvartaka clouds and their associates. So they came, and as the purport, one of the purports said, or one of the verses even, it was said that they were frightened, the purport of verse 7, they were frightened of Indra. His mood was very shocking for them. Yes, and so therefore the clouds, they gathered, and just taking a little from Srila Jiva Goswami, Gopal Champu, and various other literatures, they gathered to the north, and they came down from the north. In the northern hemisphere, the storms and the bad weather, it comes from the north, from the cold areas. So they came down from the north, and there are all these different, just incredible clouds. First of all, some black clouds. And of course we know Lord Krishna, he's Shyam, Shyam Sundar. His color, his bodily hue is that Shyama color. Means a blackish blue, it's not black. Like black, it's blackish blue, Shyama. But these clouds are now just black, just plain black. And some clouds came, they were green, just like vivid green. The first clouds which rolled in were the color and texture of moss. Moss, if you know what I mean, you know, it's sort of where there's dampness and darkness, you get kind of like fungal moss. Yeah. And there were clouds that looked like elephants. Not just your ordinary elephant you may sometimes see around here and there, but these monstrous elephants. And some of them were like serpents, like huge, massive snakes. And these are clouds. Yeah. And all sorts of other varieties. Many other varieties of clouds. And one of our acharyas says, those clouds were so thick and heavy that even if you had an axe with a sharpened blade, you know, just real sharp, so you touch it and it cuts, really sharp blade axe, and you tried to hack into the clouds, you wouldn't make any impression on the clouds. How's that? That's really quite something, isn't it? It was really the storm to end all storms, you could say, something like that. Yeah. And all these clouds gathered. And, you know, of course there are different descriptions, there are different, you know, there are different manifestations of these pastimes from time to time. I mean, from like yuga to yuga, or yeah, that sort of time scale. In all the pastimes, you get certain subtleties and things like this, some variations there But according to one of the descriptions, Krishna at the time that the storm just started, you know, appearing on the northern horizon. This is north, isn't it? Is this north? Anyway, to the north. North is there. The deities are in the north. Yeah. So as they're watching, there's something is really building up. Then Krishna, at that moment, Krishna was at a place not too far from here. It's like a couple of kilometers, something. A place called Peta. Very nice place and beautiful old deity of Krishna with four hands. But Krishna was there with the gopis, and they saw the storm coming. And the gopis became anxious and said to Krishna, or they just were saying, talking, that look at this storm, what is going to happen? What can we do? And Krishna, as he does sometimes or even often, Krishna stepped forward very boldly, you know, like, here I am, the man. And Krishna said, don't worry, I'll protect you. And the gopis, you know, it's all the leelas go on in different ways at different times. The devotees looked at Krishna and said, what? You'll protect us, or will we protect you? Because Krishna sometimes, you know, Krishna is so affectionate to his devotees. And oftentimes with his cowherd boyfriends, they have competitive games. They race sometimes, they wrestle sometimes, they swim. They have different games, competitive games. And sometimes they have team games. And two cowherd boys, they get to choose one after the other. I'll take you, and I'll take you, and then I'll take the other one, and then the other leader, I'll take that one. And one by one, they choose their team. But Krishna is so affectionate to his devotees that oftentimes when there are competitions, he lets the devotees win. And he doesn't, obviously he can win anything, it's nothing. But he lets his devotees win. And so oftentimes he comes last. And therefore Krishna, sometimes he has a name for being a bit of a loser. Because he doesn't win, he loses, he lets the devotees win. They don't think he's letting them win though. So they choose their teams. I'll take Shuddhi Prabhu. I'll take, next one, I'll take Jagat Guru Prabhu. Yeah, I like this choosing and choosing. And at the end, no one chooses Krishna. And the one leader says to the other leader, you want Krishna? And the other leader says, no, you can have him, it's okay. No, I don't need him. So it gets like that. So it was that sort of mood that, are you sure you think you can protect us? And Krishna said, of course I can. I've killed so many demons, you know that. Yeah, but you lose too. So there was a kadamba tree there.
Whoa.
There was a kadamba tree there. And it's still sort of there. But there was a kadamba tree. And the gopi said, listen, if you're really strong enough to protect us, twist this tree around. Let us see you twist this tree around. Go on, show us. So Krishna did. That Kadamba tree, that was a big solid Kadamba tree. He took it and twisted it around. And at least the remnants of it are still there. This twisted Kadamba tree. It's really interesting. It's not in the main temple, it's another temple, a Ram temple just down the road. It's kept there in a case. So yeah, Krishna then ran from outside and he ran over. And as we know, he very heroically lifted the hill. Well, we're not, maybe tomorrow Krishna's going to lift the hill, something like that. But anyway, Krishna lifted the hill, and you all know at least the basic ideas which are there. And Krishna, the thing about this Govardhan Leela, one very important feature is that Krishna generally, well, every day he's associating with his different devotees at different times, in different places. In the morning, he associates with his parental devotees. Then after breakfast, he goes out with the cowherd boys. He associates with them, and he associates with the cows, and then he comes back in the later afternoon, and he's back with the parental devotees. Then Mother Yashoda puts him to bed, and as soon as she closes the door, he's out the window for rasa dancing. This is Krishna. And then he comes back just at dawn, just when everybody should definitely get up. And he climbs through the window, bang, into bed. And he's asleep just like that. And 5 minutes later, because it's time for everyone to get up, Mother Yashoda comes and wakes him. And that's life. And that's Krishna's life in Vrindavan. A life of full engagement in transcendental activities. So there's all these different activities going on with the parental devotees, with the friendly devotees, with the cows, the sort of neutral devotees, kind of. And then later with the gopis. And then, yeah, these different devotees, different times, different places, but every day. But the particular thing about the Govardhan Leela, or one particular feature of the Govardhan Leela, which distinguishes it from the other leelas, and really introduces just a very amazing and very wonderful element in the picture of that particular pastime, is that in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna gets to associate with all of his devotees in all the rasas simultaneously. In the morning, it's more, just early morning, it's more Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, like that, the parental devotees. Then it's the cowherd boys, the cows are there. And then coming back, having his evening meal, again, it's the parental devotees more, at least more specifically. And then off for rasa dancing where, of course, it's the gopis. So, but, and it's all glorious, particularly the rasa dance is the most glorious. But in this Govardhan Leela, Lord Krishna was surrounded and was interacting with all the devotees of Vrindavan in all the rasas at one time. Therefore, our acharyas say Krishna was looking forward to the Govardhan Leela. He was really looking forward to it. He wanted it to happen. And when it did, he was really so happy. And of course, in the course of the Govardhan Leela, there are many different exchanges, interactions with different groups, like just moment to moment, not like few hours here, a few hours there, but moment to moment. So Krishna was really relishing, and the devotees, all of them, were really relishing watching Krishna 24 hours a day, and not just a few hours. And yeah, and just a couple of little points about that, if I may. And yeah, I don't want to sort of go too far into it, because others, I'm sure, will. But Krishna was standing there, left hand, right? Left hand, little finger. There he is. 7 days, seven nights. And his right hand was... I'm definitely not Krishna, but anyway, you know, you get the idea. Right hand was free. And at some point, Krishna thought, let me play on my flute. Let me do something with my right hand. So he took his flute, put it to his lips, and he was just about to blow the flute when Madhu Mangal came running over. Krishna, stop! Don't blow your flute! Stop right now! Krishna was taken aback. And Madhu Mangal said, listen, you know, when you play your flute, sometimes rocks melt. And this hill, it's rock. If it melts, we're finished. We're finished. So don't play your flute. Okay. And the gopis, as they are practically never able to do, hardly ever, they're just looking at Krishna. Just looking at Krishna 24 hours a day. And Radharani was looking at Krishna. And some other gopis told Radharani, Radharani, stop looking at Krishna like that. Because when he sees you looking at him, he starts shaking. Yeah, which he does. He starts shaking. And you never know, if he's really shaking, he may drop the hill. So Radharani, you don't look at him. Just, you couldn't look anywhere else. And so Radharani then started giving, not just looking like looking, but giving some sidelong glances at Krishna. You know, I can't do it very well, but in a real, like, authoritative sidelong glance is very fast. So, you know, I'm looking here at the camera now. I'm looking, but, right? But how fast can you do it? Well, you have to practice Let me demonstrate, if you don't mind. Maybe slightly light-hearted, but I've practiced. Let me just demonstrate a really quick sidelong glance and see if you can see it. Okay, are you ready? Just watch. Here we go. Did you see it? You didn't see it, did you? You got to be fast. Anyway, excuse me, that's just a little joke. But yeah, she does it so fast. Her parents are looking at her, like really staring at her. But she can glance so quickly they don't even see. Right? You didn't see, did you? So quickly. And that's, yeah, a real sidelong glance. So all these things are going on, and many other things. I'm sure the devotees will go through them in due course. So, Hare Krishna, time is up, yeah?
Yes.
Hogaya. One question. Or comment. Any question or comment, correction, chastisement? Oh, look, there's one up there. Savyasachi Prabhu. You can shout.
You know, mine is there.
Huh?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for the class, Maharaj. You were about to mention a name of Krishna that's kind of used to say is like some type of a loser. Is there such a name?
Oh, I don't know the name. No. Maybe Bhakta Vatsala, you know, if you understand the meaning. He's very affectionate to his devotees. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.